when I first got elected, I mean, I talked about reducing the size and cost of government, and we've undertaken a number of measures to streamline processes, to eliminate departments, to make sure that we're getting the taxpayers full value for the dollars and making sure that government works efficiently and effectively for them. I also talked about my skill set in terms of bringing new businesses to this community, and you can look over the last 7 years, and the rate of growth on the West Plains has been greater in the last 7 years than it was in the previous four decades. And we got Caterpillar, we've got Odom, Wimco, a whole series of corporations that have located out there now and created thousands of new jobs. And you know, you probably get a press release today on Project Rose and the jobs that that's bringing to the community. And there's three other companies I'm working with right now that'll bring hundreds of new jobs. So that's you know, that's very important for me and this community, because you're growing community wealth. You're growing the opportunity for people to have a good-paying job and to enjoy the benefits of living in Spokane County. And then my other top priority is public safety. I'm working in partnership with Ozzie Knezovich, who's endorsed my race, and the courts, and all of those involved in the public justice system, to make sure that, you know, our courts and our prosecutor and sheriff and jail have the resources necessary to make sure that we can keep our public safe. And I'm leading the Spokane Regional Law and Justice Council and bringing reforms to the criminal justice system that will make sure that we're getting not only good value for the taxpayer dollars, but also improvements to the criminal justice system itself.
Okay. And since you brought that up, that reminds me, too, of when you had to ask the various county agencies, you know, to take kind of a budget cut, like
yes.
What last year.
Yep.
And I know that was related to the property tax thing. And I know at one point Ozzie was, you know, concerned about what his department was going to do. And I think you guys came to a compromise or something where their department didn't quite get cut as much.
Actually, not only has Ozzie's department not been cut, but we've also increased the number of sheriff deputies in this last year to make sure that he's got adequate resources on the road to keep the community safe. So, yes, I think that's one of the top priorities for the majority of the board. Yeah.
So, yeah, we'll talk a bit about then the overall, you know, the financing issues where, you know, you had to deal with those budget cuts across the board. What do you think can be done to help that? Are you looking again at maybe trying to raise that property tax thing to 1% you're able to do?
You know, right now we continue to try and find economies in county government and looking to streamline processes and stuff. So, you know, I think, and quite frankly, the economy is doing very well right now. And we're bringing in some good businesses. We're creating new revenue through business expansion, not expansion of taxes. And so, you know, I think we're going to be fine for another year or two, and we're going to continue to work the legislature. I mean, our biggest obstacle is the state legislature forcing unfunded mandates onto us and robbing our local taxpayers of taxpayer dollars that they want to spend on local priorities, and the state is spending it on state priorities. So we continue to work, and I'm on the Washington State Association of Counties Legislative Steering Committee and also our litigation committee to try and really work with the legislature and get them to respond to state issues for counties across the state. This is not unique to Spokane. Counties across the state are struggling. We've got some counties that don't have sheriff deputies on the road 24/7. We've got some counties that are saying we can't afford to maintain our roads anymore, and we're going to let them go back to dirt. The state legislature has to hear counties' concerns about maintaining infrastructure and maintaining public safety, and quit robbing us of revenues to spend on their priorities. Our taxpayers want to make sure that their families and their communities are safe.
And I guess I should ask you, what are some of those unfunded mandates? And then, did the McCleary decision, is that something that's really hurting our county at all, where a lot of state money is going to the education thing?
Well, the McCleary solution did create a large tax increase for our local taxpayers this year. 85 cents per thousand was the tax increase to deal with McCleary, and that'll roll off the tax rolls next year. And so hopefully our citizens will see some tax relief. But it's other things. It's like the voter drop box is one issue that, you know, the legislature determines that we need more voter drop boxes. And so now there's an impact to counties across the state to provide this. And for us, it's probably another $50,000 to $60,000 a year to fix a problem that didn't exist. Indigent defense is a big issue for us. I mean, that's probably we're probably spending somewhere close to $6 million in indigent defense, and that should be a responsibility of the state, not local county governments and stuff. So we're working on trying to get the state to start picking up their share of the cost. You know, the county government is the agent of the state. We provide at the local level services for the state, whether it's elections, tax collections, auditing, all of these different programs, and the state needs to be compensating us for that service we provide for them, and that's just not happening at the level it needs to be able to maintain and deliver the service. So it continues to be a challenge for counties across the state.
Okay. And when you brought that up, it was reminding me of the situation with the county jail. What's the status there, and what are your opinions of, do we still need to try to expand, or what's the deal?
We are operating over capacity at the jail right now and stuff. So the goal to try and reduce the population in the jail is to make sure that the jail environment itself is safe. But also, our community has grown. This facility was built back in the 1980s, and we are now a county of over 500,000 population and stuff. So we've just outgrown the facility. So we are working aggressively to see how can we expand not only the number of jail beds that we have to address the issues of the county, but also how do we do it better than we're doing now? The technology and the systems and the programs that we have available to us today are much different than they were in the 1980s. So how do we incorporate those new technologies into the managing of the jail so that we can do it smarter and cheaper and still effective, to where we make sure that we've got people that would do you harm in jail and those that are find themselves on the wrong side of the law by no decision or by choice of themselves? They don't need to be in jail. They need to be in other programs to help them get back on their feet. And the last thing I want to see in our jail are people that need help because of mental illness or addiction. They need to be in programs. They don't need to be incarcerated. So how do we make sure that those programs are available? So this Spokane Regional Law and Justice Council is a partnership with all of the jurisdictions in the county. We're coming together. We're working together to try and make the system work better for all of us and stuff. So the city of Spokane, the Valley, others are at the table with us, and we're doing it in a holistic fashion to make sure that we're able to serve all of our citizens in a more effective way.
And when we talk about those, you know, those reforms for sentencing and all that, what about the big issue about the property crime? Because I know that's something that keeps coming up. Like the sheriff told me that's his major concern. Do we need to, like, change it so these repeat offenders are actually going to jail for longer times? Or what are your thoughts on that?
Well, the sentencing guidelines are a combination of what state statute defines in terms of what the authorities are for the judges. And also, you know, is the reason for the property crimes because people don't have any economic opportunities available to them or not? I'll give you a great example. We have worked with the Associated General Contractors to have an apprenticeship program provided to inmates in the Geiger Correctional Facility so that they're learning a construction trade so that when they get out of jail, they have the opportunity for economic advancement by employment as opposed to having to go back to a life of crime. And our recidivism rate has been reduced dramatically as a result of that program. If you can come out of Geiger and go into a job that'll pay you $20, $30, $40 an hour, you don't have that need to try and rob and vandalize other people to be able to put food on your table. You now have a job. And so it's programs like that will help to reduce the overall crime rate and get people into productive members of our community.
Okay. I'm trying to look here quickly at your brochure that you handed me, but I'm thinking, what other priorities are, I should say, maybe what other challenges are ahead? I see you mentioned Fairchild on here. Is there going to be another BRAC mission or anything coming up?
At this point, there's no conversation about BRAC in the immediate future, but we always have to be cognizant about how do we protect Fairchild. Now, there is a lot of good activity going on right now where wings for the KC-135s that are located at some of the other bases that were successful in getting the 46A tanker, the new tanker. Well, as they come in, those existing KC-135s are slated to come back to Fairchild. So Fairchild will be the largest tanker base in the country as a result of all of these other tankers coming to Fairchild. Now, on the short term, that's good news because we've got new wings, new airmen and women coming to the community, and Fairchild is okay for the immediate future. But long term, we're the base for an aircraft that the Air Force wants to get rid of. And if we don't get that new tanker, when these KC-135s are rolled out of the fleet, what's the need for Fairchild? And so we continue to fight to make sure that Fairchild is the next in line for that 46A, 46B, C, whatever the letter is, that new tanker. We need to get that new mission identified for Fairchild so that we can guarantee the longevity of Fairchild beyond the KC-135.
That just reminded me, too, what's the latest status? I mean, with the Spokane Casino already going ahead and building, is that still considered by you to be a threat to Fairchild, or what's the latest?
You know, since the previous administration and the governor approved it, it's a reality, and we work around it. We continue to work to try and mitigate other encumbrances. The county is aggressively working to try and eliminate the mobile home parks that are in the accident potential zone at the end of the runway for Fairchild, because that also is an encroachment into the operation. And so, you know, it with military bases, especially, next to urban areas, you're constantly working to try and make sure that you're mitigating those encroachments so that you're guaranteeing the long-term viability and usefulness of that base. And so that's an ongoing effort that we're engaged in.
Okay. Hey, I think I may have enough, but what am I leaving out? I mean, anything else you want to talk about, challenges or what lies ahead or anything to do with the election itself?
You know, the one thing that, you know, I'd like to remind the voters of is two things. One, thank you very much for the opportunity to serve this community. I look at public service as an honor and a privilege to be able to serve, and I take that very seriously. So I work very hard. I currently sit on about 40 boards and commissions. I chair about a third of them. It's about public service, and it's about doing the best you can to serve the needs of this community. But it's also making sure that you have the leadership skills necessary to deliver on those promises that you've made. And you know, I'm the only one in the state that has received the National Outstanding Board Member of the Year for the American Public Transportation Association because of my leadership with STA and restructuring that organization to make it a more effective and efficient organization for this community. But then I've been recognized by my peers and county commissioners across the state for my leadership skills and stuff. So I'm not somebody that can come here and tell you that if you elect me, I can do things I've never done before in my life. I'm here telling you, if you elect me, I'll continue to work hard for you. I'll continue to work to bring jobs to this community. I'll continue to work to make sure you and your family are safe. And I continue to make sure that your taxpayer dollar is protected and you're getting full value of it. That's the difference that I offer. You know, it's amazing to me how many candidates say, if you elect me, I can do things I've never done before in my life. Well, I've been doing it for a long time, and I want to continue to do it. I love this community. I tell people I'll die here. Some like to think sooner than later. But, you know, it's a real honor for me to be able to serve.